Before Pesach, it's been a while, but before Pesach, we were up to, we were in the middle of Shar, or towards the beginning, I guess, of Shar Sheni, of the beautiful Sefer we've been learning all year, Alei Shor. And the previous perek that we had done, we're not going to review it now, but just to set the context, was his one of his last few prakim had been his foray into different dimensions of the role of Torah, and what the role of studying Torah has, not only in terms of our knowledge, but also in terms of developing our neshama, developing our personality. And this chapter that we're going to learn today, which is Shar Sheni, paragraph VE, as a short one, we can do it pretty much in toto here in 20 minutes. And this is on a related theme of Shimush Talmid Chachamim, which is the notion, again, like all the topics that we're doing, we're just touching the surface in a brief 20-minute shiur, so there's certainly more to say than we'll be able to say today. But this is a notion which is somewhat radical, perhaps, in the world of intellectual pursuits, which is that it's not just the material itself, but the relationship with the teacher, which has a important dimension in one's character building. And I think that's really the point. When you realize that Torah is not only about the knowledge, but its impact it would have on you, so then it's not just something that you can get from a book, and even from a podcast, and even, you know, what you're listening to while you're in the car or in the train, although all these things are all benefits that we can access nowadays. But one thing that you can't have just by listening at a distance or reading a book is the relationship with a teacher. So his launching point is something very, very interesting. And read right off the bat, it'll help us, give us an insight into something we say in davening every day. So that's like a bonus that we're going to get right off the top. His starting point, his launching point, is a comment of the Rambam. The Rambam is discussing something that seems to be far afield here in Perek Dalid of Hilchas Sanhedrin, where the Rambam is describing the Shalshelas HaMasora. How was Torah transmitted from one generation to the next? And we know Hashem gave it to Moshe, or gave it to Yeshua, or gave it to the Zakenim, etc. That idea of smicha, what we colloquially call getting smicha, somebody becomes a rabbi, you get smicha, so we have an imitation smicha nowadays. Even the Gadol Hador, from little old me to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, we all have the same imitation smicha. Right? There's no real smicha anymore. Real smicha had to be conveyed, as the Rambam here says, based on Chazal, physically and literally by someone who had smicha, putting his hands on and transmitting the smicha literally, physically, to someone he was giving smicha to. The Rambam describes that here. Moshe samach li Yoshua biyad. Moshe put his hands on Yoshua. Shenemar v'yismach yodav alav v'yitzadeh, etc. And then the Shivim Zakenim, Moshe put his hands on. And says the Rambam, this is what happened after the Zakenim, to the next generation, to the next generation, etc. But the Rambam key point, if you have the text and you're looking inside, at the end of the second line, Rav Volbi picks up on the fact that the Rambam seems to add unnecessarily three words. That when Moshe put his hand on Aaron or on the Zakenim, v'sharsa aleihem shechina. It wasn't just giving him an authority to paskin. You're smicha. We're now a rabbi. But more than that, sharsam aleihem shechina. Asks Rav Volbi, second paragraph. What's the Rambam adding this idea that when a person gets smicha, the Shechina dwells upon him? L'chora ain't zavini smicha. What's that? One thing, you could have a relationship with Hashem. Every Navi had smicha? No. You could have the Shechina doesn't have to go. Why is that necessarily being conveyed here? U'behechrech kavanos alomar, ki zeu derech hashos ha-Shechina al ziknei Yisrael midor l'dor. Shebekoach gedol Yisrael, hu limsor es ha-Shechina kibitol halat l'dor, kiviyachol, excuse me, halat l'dor haba, v'ze inyin ha-smicha, nifla, Ma'od. So his main point, and this is why this is going to be relevant to us, is that the nature of, again, I don't know exactly what this means, this instantiation of Hashem Shechina in us. I can't say I really, really understand that. There's something obviously somewhat metaphysical about that, supernatural about that. But the key point is, no matter how perfected a person makes himself, you cannot have that experience, reach that level on your own. There is some dimension of Avodas Hashem, some dimension of our relationship with Hashem, which can only be accomplished if it is given over to you from a master. There's a lot you can get on your own, but certain things you can only get if they're endowed to you by somebody else. And with this, he now explains a little vort, which we're going to say, we just said, and we'll say again in Mirz Hashem tomorrow and every other day of our lives, which is the bracha we say on Shema of Yotzer HaMaros. What's one of the things we say here? Next paragraph, we say v'kulam mekablim aleihem ol malchus shemayim zemizeh Who are the kulam? Who are we even talking about? Do we know? We say this every day. I'm not gonna ask anyone. I don't want to embarrass anyone who doesn't know. What are we saying? We're talking about the angels. And here, we talk about how they are mekabel o malchus shamayim. And as Rav Volbi says, in general, we refer to that. That's an expression that we use all the time. We speak about someone who really accepts, is really committed to Hashem, right? It's a very clunky term out of context. Accepting the yoke of heaven, right? That's not the way normal people actually talk, right? Well, what do we mean by that? Someone who's really religious, who's really committed, who's really careful. Okay, fine, that is what we mean. But yet, Rav Volbi picks up on this similar phrase. Kabbalas o malchus shamayim. Says Rav Volbi, what you see from this is, it's literal. You see three lines down, he says, there's a certain expression, im yesh makabel, yesh gam nosein. This is the same idea that the Rambam was conveying when it came to the smich tashras hashchina. Just like hashras hashchina is something that you have, but it had to be something you received, you were given. So too, kabbalas o malchus shamayim in its fullest expression, that's why we call it kabbalas o malchus shamayim. It's not something you get just on your own. It implies that it was given over to you. And he points out that that's how the Gra explains the bracha we say every day in Kriya Shema, that it's referring to each angel, kula mekabim lam, gets it from the one who's greater than them, who got it from the one who's greater than them, etc. The last line of that paragraph, kamal mekabel me'eza hagavah mimenu, v'nosun rishus lahakatan mimenu. So you have a similar theme. And basically what he says in the next paragraph is it's a range. Going along, this straight line, but basically what we refer to as the angels who are, up there, very esoteric, and even great Rabbanim who had smicha, and then all of us, you and me and everyone nowadays down here on our level, yes, we're at different points on the range, but it's the same reality. The reality is that there's a certain dimension of one's commitment and relationship with Hashem, which is not possible on your own. Just like in smicha, you give to the masmich, gives the most a feeling of hashrash hashchina that has to be conveyed. Just like the angels gave over to each other kabbalas o malchus shamayim, there are something about our relationship with Hashem and our commitment and our experience with Him that we have to get from somebody else. And this, now we skip down to the next paragraph, this now brings us to his broader topic of why it's important to have a relationship with Talmid Chachamim and not just read from books, or what we would say nowadays, also not just listen to a shurim online, etc. B'zesh adam niya talmid l'rabo. You see how important it is to have a Rebbe. Because by doing that, mitchaber el hasharsheres ha-gidola, ha-mekasheres osanu el Moshe Rabbeinu v'piya gvura, v'hu ha-mekabel esatora k'tsurasa, ha-smicha, ein elagola ha-koteret, ha-sisha, the idea of smicha, you'll say, that's way beyond. I mean, maybe some of you would say, even in this world, I can never get smicha. But even the greatest people who got smicha don't have the real smicha. So you might think, all of this is very, very esoteric. What's this got to do with me? Okay, once upon a time, there was this thing called real smicha, and I would have needed to get that from a Rebbe. I couldn't do that on my own. If I would be an angel, it'd be good to know Hilchos angels, that I need to, right? But the answer is no, says Rav Volbi. That it's all on a continuum. And those are the more extreme expressions of it. But on our level, it's the same thing. It's highlighting this basic spiritual metaphysical reality, which is that there's the dimension of Avodas Hashem, which has to be conveyed from someone greater than us. And we need a relationship with that person in order to be able to get it. As he says explicitly at the end of the paragraph, Im ha-smicha b'teila, maybe it's true we don't have smicha anymore. But the phenomenon, the reality, Sharsheres ha-kabbalah ha-chaya, bein Rav v'talmid, lo batla v'lo tibata liolam. Timoser, I guess it's Bezros Hashem, maybe he means in that abbreviation, Pinimius Satora, Vitzurosa, Lamita, Midorador, Atsofadoros. Right? And I think we know this. Please don't misunderstand me, but let me say something that is, let's say, potentially sensitive. Right? There are many, many things, for example, I guess just to make this point, there are many things that are obviously of that are very, very admirable, let's say, about a Baal Tshuva. Right? Someone who comes to things on his own, and some things who come to things later in life. Right, really, like Ein L'Dovar Sof, you could say about how incredible that accomplishment is, and all the more so a ger. I mean that very, very sincerely. But sometimes, those of us who are Nebuch, the FFBs, you notice that there are certain things missing in the Baal Tshuva, especially someone who became a Baal Tshuva late, more recently. And I don't mean this as a criticism, that's why I mean, Chas V'Shalom, I'm saying something very sensitive, but I'm trying to be very careful about it. I don't mean it as a criticism. But it's just reality. And in this, if it's not identical to what he's saying, it's very similar to what he's saying, which is that sometimes if you didn't watch it and kind of absorb it by osmosis or organically and sieve it and receive it, right? What he's talking about is receiving from a Rebbe, many of us received from our parents, right? There was something that we got. You know, in many of the cases, especially people from my generation, many of us are more learned than our parents. And yet, if we hadn't grown up in the home that we grew up in, and those of us who are blessed to grow up in a firm home, we're missing something. So however it is you would put that into words, again, and obviously the ger or the Baal Tshuva doesn't have that, it's not his or her fault, but it is still reality. This is, to me, is very much akin to what he's saying here. There's a part of Judaism that needs to be given over. So if you're lucky enough to have a relationship with someone who could give it over to you, the point is, you've got to take advantage of that. You can't think this is something that is a do-yourself, you know, IKEA Judaism. You know, here's a few information. Build it yourself. And if you ever see me try to build a bookcase, you understand why. Okay, there are certain people who could do that. So they might have had a havamina that Judaism could be like their bookcase. I never had such a havamina. I've never been able to build such a bookcase. But nevertheless, I think that's the point, which I think is so powerful that he's bringing home to us, even though so far his, you know, where he drew the point from was something, you know, angels and Yeshua, that's very far from us. But the basic point, I think, is something which, you know, whether it's our parents who are our first teachers, or other more formal official rabbis / teachers, this idea of being a makabel, realizing there's something that I can't get on my own, that I can only get if someone gives to me, is an incredibly important part of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And now he makes that, you know, very explicitly now at the end of the bottom of the page, is that Inyan Shimush Tamir Chachamim. And this is what Chazal mean when they talk about how important Shimush Tamir Chachamim is. He quotes a few Mamari Chazal, the last one being the most famous one from the Gemara Brachos. Gadol Shimusha Yoser Milimuda. It's an astonishing phrase, and we can give a whole shir on different interpretations of what exactly that means, but at least we see Revolbi's point is just you see how significant Chazal viewed this relationship that a student can have with his master, and again, I would say more broadly, anyone can have with a role model, and ideally, if you're lucky enough, you can have with your parents, and those of us who are parents can give over to our children and the great responsibility. But it's an incredible thing. Chazal say that on some level, being mishamish, a Talmid Chacham, being aware, being around, listening to, talking to, observing even the informal activities of a Talmid Chacham can have an even greater influence than all the book learning that a person could ever do. Again, that's what I say about growing up in a home. What that gives you cannot be replicated. And that's this idea. Shimush Talmid Chachamim is the yesod of all aliyah. All of growth is, in, you know, is really the foundation of that, is this idea of a relationship and being a recipient of someone giving over to us. Kama drisha sa'emes, right? Because, again, here he's expanding on the idea that if you have a mentor, a role model, what that really is implying is also a person has a mentality of they want to grow, they want to learn. Kama hispatlus, I'm willing to be mevatel myself to hear what someone else has to say, someone who's greater than me. Kama avas bikores, I'm willing to accept criticism. That all those, just like all of those are necessary ingredients in anyone who wants to grow, in Lahavdil, I'm sure it's true in any area of life. You want to become a better lawyer, a better this, a better that, right? If you think you know better than the coach, you think you know better than your mentor, you think you know better than your boss, you're never going to learn, you're never going to grow, right? You need to be willing to, so just like those are important midos for personal growth, so too, harotza lo rak lomod, yeah, so too, b'tamazah harotza lo rak lomod merabo, alagam l'shamesh oso. That's what it means to have a relationship, to be able to not just have the book knowledge, but to get have the interaction and all the benefits that should come from that. He points out that we're in the time of Pirkei Avos now, and the sixth chapter, which is really an addition to Pirkei Avos, it's actually a brisa that was added on to the Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos, which are all about Torah, and maybe the most famous brisa in that is that it says that there are 48 milos, 48 midos that a person has to have in order to have Kinyan Torah. And what is the beginning of that list? I'm on the top of the second page. First thing he says is Talmud, and then it says Shmiya Sa'ozen. What does it mean to hear? I mean, it seems to be redundant. That's obvious. If I can't hear, how am I supposed to learn? So he says, no, you have to understand this is a deeper point. Malazu, second line, Perusha Lios Ach Barak Shomea. Right? There are some people who are too busy talking, they're never listening. And the Siyag L'Chachma is Shtika. Not because you have nothing to say, but if you're too busy talking, you're never going to get busy learning. The most important ingredient in growing is the ability to listen, the ability to hear. Lintosh es hat shuka lahagid ba'atzmo lachadish kedushim lemso kolin nasipa kashmius divrei rab b'diktuk b'hem. Right, there are certain people who always want to talk. They always want to give over their opinion, and they never have any time to listen to anybody else. Now we add something very important. He repeats that. I'm not sure if we'll have time to get to the next time he says it, but he at the end of the piece he says it as well. This is the important balance. And then, you know, on the one hand he's saying yes, you have to be always a shomea, always listening, etc. But he adds something. Kamuvan. We're not talking about blind following. We're not talking about blind faith. It doesn't mean when we say that it's important to be a Talmud and a recipient, it doesn't mean you're just like a kof or a parrot, tuki, right? The rabbi says this, I repeat it. No, you have to think, be critical. Havana rechava v'amuka. Moshe Afshar, as best as your ability. But again, even a student who's, you know, critically listening and having a masa v'matan, and when you don't understand something, ask. That doesn't mean you're not a listener. It just means that you are a listener who wants to truly understand. I'll remember again. I don't have time, and even if I had the time, I don't know if that would be the forum to discuss the specifics. But I remember there was something very. It was a big thing that was going on in the New York and in the YU world when I was a young married smicha student, and there was a certain opportunity I had as part of. But it turned out to be kind of a new movement, so it turned out to be very good that I didn't join. But I was invited to do something, and I was enticed and very flattered by a certain thing. And I went to my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig, and I asked him, you know, whether he thought I should accept this thing I was being offered. And he said no, and he even gave me a little bit of an explanation. I thought about it. I didn't agree. I didn't understand. Or maybe I was just blinded by what I thought were the benefits of it. But either way, I went back to him a second time. And I remember he looked at me, he's like, You really want this? Like, anyway, but then he said it over it. And at the end, I remember at the end, he says, I'm not saying you have to listen. He even said a line to me. I'm not saying you're not my Talmud if you don't listen. But yeah, you want my opinion. I give you my opinion. So looking back on hindsight, the fact that I listened to him was one of the best decisions ever in my life, that particular decision. I also went to him when I was dating my wife, and he encouraged me to stay with the date. So that was good. So that's probably the best thing he ever gave to me. I owe him everything. But in both cases, even though I wasn't 100% sure, so I pushed and I clarified and I asked. But at the end of the day, I was a shamaya. I listened and I was a makabel. And at least in my personal experience, it ended up being a tremendous, tremendous blessing in my life. Next paragraph. Rak Talmud Vatik Zeh HaMishamish Es Rabo Kol Tzorcho Noed Lios Bar Samcha B'Torah. Okay, I won't read the rest of this paragraph. But again, he's just adding on to this point that no matter how much book knowledge you have, if you haven't had a relationship with a Rebbe, there's going to be some ultimate level of Torah mastery that you will not have. You may know all the answers, but you're missing some ingredient, which is absolutely, absolutely critical. And in the next paragraph, he talks about the fact, which is, you know, we can all understand and relate to, how lots of people, especially young people, want to skip this step. Right? Young people think that they're knockers, and there's nothing more than teenagers. No one has more unearned confidence than teenagers. The younger they are, the more sure they are that they know everything already. Again, we all went through this. Again, it doesn't always help us when we're dealing with our own teenagers. We can sometimes get frustrated, but it's good to remember that we were probably like that too when we were that age. And obviously, in this context, you know, it is critically important, especially at a young age, to realize, you know, not to take away their own, you know, desire to be their own person. That's pretty much what it means to be a teenager, is to find yourself. And finding yourself means separating from your parents on some level and finding your own identity. But nevertheless, not to lose this critical point. Let's do the last paragraph before the three dots. Again, he's talking about how important it is. Again, receive. Now here's where he gives the balance again. And this is a good point. So I want to re-emphasize this again, reiterate it. Mi'idach, gam achikoy ha'iver hu chisaro mishimesh tam chacham. Right, blind imitation, it also is not shimush. Again, we're not talking about imitating. We're talking about genuinely understanding and receiving. Hashimush chayav leharbos das lo lamata. The chikoy novea me anios hadas. Right, people who just blindly imitate, that's not a level of intellectual or spiritual accomplishment. That's actually a low level. Ki yisod hashimushu lo levater b'shem ofen ha'havana yishara. You have to understand what you're doing. You should never do things completely blindly. V'chosher ha'tamin marbe l'shamash ha'rabo. But the point is, the more you talk to the Rebbe, the more you observe the Rebbe, the more you talk to the parent, the role model, etc., the more you'll understand. Gabu marbe das. Mitchazek sichlo. Midlabenet gishato ha'mtzi'it l'havana ha'torah. Right? So it's not that the more you... the more you lose your independence, it's that the more you'll understand why the things that you're observing and are being taught and talking about are genuinely, truly, truly correct. And I think this is hopefully, in a good parent-child relationship, this is one of the things that happens when the child then becomes adult. Right? There's, please God, there should be many years of such a thing, but it's a complete different relationship with a parent when they're both adults. Right? And I know this as a parent now who has children who are getting into that age, and I remember even almost having a sense of the delight that my own parents took when all of a sudden at some point they saw me differently as not only a kid anymore, still their kid, and hopefully always their child for many years, but all of a sudden now as an adult who could actually talk to them and have opinions and really have... But nevertheless, never losing the hierarchy and always understanding that they're the no-stain in this relationship and that I'm the makabel. And that, again, whether it's a Rebbe or parents, when you grow up in a home like that and have a relationship with parents that you can really benefit from, that is a tremendous bracha. Just to conclude the postscript that he puts at the bottom, after all of the very kind of high esoteric stuff, he boils it down to two very practical dimensions. Just what are the two, he says the two characteristics of a person who has this personality, he boils down into the following. This will conclude in a minute. He says, right? Ha'avoda shashimish tamar chacham kfuli. Basically, there's two different things that a person has to, so to speak, accept upon himself. What are the characteristics? So I won't read the whole medrash, but in Aleph, the first one he mentions, he's commenting on a medrash in Koheles Rabasi. And the medrash basically makes the point that it doesn't matter who you're hearing from. No matter who you're hearing Torah from, don't focus on, oh, this is a big rabbi, it's not a big rabbi, or maybe I even know more than this person. Focus on the content, not the person. Meaning to say, what's the point? He says here, about 7-8 lines down, shetigadol b'chinas advarim b'enei hashomea, eino toli klal v'klal b'misha amram. Don't, in general in life, you have to be the kind of person who's not focused on, you know, who's telling you, but on the fact that if I have shmias ozen, if I have this midah of, I want to learn, I'm open to ideas, I'm open to be influenced, open to being inspired, then yachal shamish mipi kodesh b'ketanim. Then you can gain from anybody. Yes, it's great to have a Rebbe, great to have role models and parents, but the truth is if you have this characteristic of you're always open, your ears are always there, right? Lots of people hear, right? In Yiddish, they say there's a difference between to hear and to daher. Right, there's a difference between listening and hearing. Right, to really hear something means you're open to what it can have. You know, and if you have that mentality, if you have that midah of it's a learning midah. I'm always open. My ears are always open to really learn. So that won't just help you with who your rebbeim are, your bosses, your mentors, but that can help. That's a general characteristic that a person has to have. And last but not least, bet he says niflir ot ketzet ikvu chazal acher rabotayim b'chol halichotayim. He points out that when the Gemaras speak about shimush tamil chachamim, the Gemaras in some extremely, extremely intimate ways describe just how far Talmidim were willing to go and how far Rebbeim were willing to allow their Talmidim even into their home lives, even into their most intimate married lives. Right? And he refers to the famous Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach Beis, where the Chachamim was under the marital bed of his Rebbe. And his Rebbe realized he was there when he was with his wife. Right? Awkward, as the kids might say. Revolvi, just in case you don't think he's normal, he points out, Ma'atim hayom gedol yador she'efshel sham esotum kach, right? This is not exactly our reality, right? Don't try that at home, says Revolvi, or at your Rebbe's home, I guess the point being. Ach doresh mevakesh amiti, but what the point we should take from this, instead of when you're a teenager or something and you read that Gemara, you're mezalzel in it. But what's the real lesson that we should take from this, respectfully? That a doresh mevakesh amiti, someone who really, really wants to grow, we realize that the people greater than us, a great Rebbeim, and again, I would say on some level our parents, if we're lucky enough, it's not just when we see them davening, just when we see them shaking, how do you shake a lulav? Is it this way or that way? I once went to a Bachalamoy Tzukas to my Rebbe, and I saw he does it that way. Or what's the proper way to lean at the Seder? Well, once when I was first year in Beis Medrash, I got invited to my Rebbe's house for Seder, so now I know how to lean. Yes, those things are all true. That is Shemish Tabr Chachamim. But the point of the Gemara is it's not limited to the ritual acts. Seeing the Sichas Chulin, so to speak, seeing how your Rebbe talks, seeing how your Rebbe, again, this is one of the best things about when you are younger, and your Rebbe invite you over to their house for a Kiddush or a Tish or a Shabbos meal, seeing how your Rebbe acts as a husband, seeing how your Rebbe acts as a father, seeing your Rebbe interact in all these other more casual, unofficial ways is also very, very important and something that one could learn from. Again, not to imitate blindly, he points out again, but to build your life. The last line, bona eschaya val shikul habari, right? A sort of healthy balance. Ketzi the Agila Dargas Rabbah to see. And again, I would say again, even if we're at the stage now where we're not as exposed to great Rabbanim, we're not yeshiva so much anymore, obviously. But nevertheless, there's still people we can observe. And again, remember, even in Europe, that's exactly what I was talking about in terms of the house you grew up in, right? Again, sometimes we react into the opposite of our parents. That's also part of finding your own identity. But hopefully, there are a lot of things in which the way we saw, you know, again, even if you're different than your father, you're different than your mother, etc., but the way you saw them relate to each other, the type of things that they did, again, it's not just that, you know, I wait 6 hours because my father waited 6 hours, and I shake my lulav this way because he shook this way. Do you wear a kittel to say it or not? Well, I don't know. Did my father wear a kittel? All those kind of things, that's all true, that's all good, but it shouldn't be limited to that. Right? The more orchos chayim that we can get from our parents, or our rebbeim, is something that's very, very important. It's really one of the secret ingredients, the secret sauce to Judaism. And this is really an incredibly, I think, a profound idea. Okay?